Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Every morning, we should get up with the attitude, something good is going to happen to me today. In other words, today I could get the contract on the property I'm trying to sell. Today I could see the legal situation turn around. Today I could meet the person of my dreams. Today I could have a breakthrough in my health. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the time for God's favor. Notice, not next week, not next month, not 20 years from now. No, now is the time God wants to amaze you with his goodness.
That, of course, is Joel Osteen, a familiar voice to many from television. Of course, he pastors the largest megachurch in the United States, Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. And his message is consistent. It is one that you heard there. God wants to prosper you today in every aspect of your life. Is Osteen a preacher of the prosperity gospel? What is the prosperity gospel? And is it the biblical gospel? We'll be answering those questions here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Wednesday, March the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. A little bit later in this first hour, Eric Metaxas will join us. We'll get a biography of 20th century Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer. We'll talk the King James Bible, Dr. Cameron McKenzie, in the entire second hour of the program. By the way, in advance of that second hour, you can leave your questions or comments on the King James Bible at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. David Jones joins us to talk about the prosperity gospel. He's associate professor of Christian ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, co-author of the new book, Health, Wealth, and Happiness: Has the Prosperity Gospel Overshadowed the Gospel of Christ? Dr. Jones, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Many of us associate the prosperity gospel with kind of the lunatic fringe of televangelism, something that was very popular about two decades ago, really raking in the money. The message was really making a lot of people a lot of money. And that seems to have kind of waned in recent years. Is the prosperity gospel still prospering today?
I tell you, it's prosperity, or it's, you know, its presence today is really why we decided to write the book. As you correctly note, you know, the big hair, big music televangelists of the 80s are gone. But what's happened is the prosperity gospel has gone mainstream. And by mainstream, I mean it's in our conservative evangelical churches through a more biblical veneer. But really, it's the same message. And you think of folks like Osteen, who you just mentioned, and it's, in a sense, it's almost more dangerous than it was previously, because it used to be easy to spot, but now it's really sinking into the theology of the folks that are filling the pews in our churches.
It used to be far more blatantly quid pro quo in its approach. It was believe this and God will give you this, or send us some seed money. I'm thinking Robert Tilton, those kind of guys. Send us some seed money and God will give you tenfold or whatever fold in return. Joel Osteen doesn't make those kind of pitches anymore. Is it still prosperity gospel?
I think ultimately it's the same message. It's the idea that Christianity is about you. And it's the mindset that if you just are a good Christian, you know, if you go to church and you read your Bible and you think positive thoughts and say the right things, well, then you can expect to have a healthy and wealthy life. And so really, it's really a perspective. Instead of viewing Christianity as being about God and about his service and his glory. It becomes more about me and my affairs and my personal estate of things. And even I think even in my own heart and in the hearts of folks in the church that I attend, I think it's real natural when something, say, goes wrong in your life. Maybe you lose your job, or you don't get a promotion, or your child gets sick, or whatever comes your way. It's real easy to think, well, God, I deserve better because I'm serving you. And that there is the same thought pattern. It's the idea, if we do the right things and are good Christians, then Christianity is about us, and we can expect things to go well for us.
Give us some names of the major purveyors of the prosperity gospel today.
I think the heavy hitters would be folks like Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, Creflo Dollar, Paula White, of course, Kenneth Copeland, and these are the big names. But there's a whole host of smaller names that in local churches that are sort of buying into this same idea. And I think it's a really easy message to sell, because I think in our fallen hearts, I think all of us would rather be the master than the servant. And when they come to you and say, hey, it's about you, well, it doesn't really take a lot of convincing to get most casual Christians on board with that.
So it's deeply tied, at least in previous generations, into what has been called the word faith movement or a word faith theology. Briefly, what is this, and how do we still hear this today?
Well, essentially, the word of faith movement was the organized mid 20th century prosperity gospel. But essentially, there are five marks of prosperity theology that are unpacked and take on a bit of a different form, depending upon if it's a real hardcore purveyor or just a soft advocate of the prosperity theology. But the five marks that we talk about in the book that we want to call people's attention to are these. Number one, it's having a correct, or rather an incorrect view of God. Those that buy into prosperity theology tend to view God more or less as a cosmic bellhop, someone who exists to serve them. And, of course, that there's a whole bunch of things that relate to that. Of course, that affects, what is prayer? I mean, is prayer us confessing and communing with God, or is prayer a walkie-talkie that we use to get things from God? But the number one is having an incorrect view of God, and essentially a diminished view of God and his sovereignty and his authority. Number two is the idea that if you just have the right thoughts and have the right attitude, you can control your circumstances through this. And so it's sort of a mind over matter theology. And this is really big with guys like Osteen. And even in the clip that you played, he was talking about that, about there's a miracle in your mouth, friend, and if you just say the right words and think the right thoughts, so things will go well. And so we have an incorrect view of God, mind over matter. Number three is a exalted view of man, the idea that it's ultimately about me. And it's not that I'm expecting eternal life and blessings on the other side of the grave, but I expect prosperity right now because it's about me. Number four is the idea of good health and good wealth, which we tend to associate that with the word of faith movement, but that's really just a part of their theology, that you'll be healthy, you'll be wealthy, and all that. And then number five is salvation, a incorrect view of salvation. The word of faith movement, even the soft advocates of prosperity theology today, tend to view salvation as saving us from a non-prosperous life, saving us from a poor lifestyle, as opposed to saving us from our sinful condition. So those five marks, a diminished view of God, mind over matter, an exalted view of man, health and wealth, and then incorrect view of salvation are really the five areas that everyone goes wrong who's in this movement. But the degree to which they go wrong is going to vary depending upon how ingrained they are with prosperity theology.
Often the teachers themselves will present themselves as proof of their prosperity gospel. They will say, look, they'll blatantly say, look at me. I believe for this. This is why I have the big ministry, the giant church, the enormous income, and all of the trappings of wealth and prosperity that God wants you to have, too. How do you respond to that?
It's so insidious, isn't it? Because, you know, they ask their followers for, you know, to give up their resources, and of course they do, because the followers, the folks in the pews, of course they see the pastor up there and they think, gee, I would like that, and so they give up their resources, which makes the speaker very wealthy, and then wealth never materializes, or perhaps healing never comes to those in the pew. But the insidious part of the message is then their response is, well, it's because you didn't have enough faith. And so the problem is not with my message. Look at me. I have wealth. I have good health. I have a trophy wife, et cetera, et cetera, because I had faith. And the reason why it's not going well for you is because there's a breakdown with your theology. You don't have enough faith. And so you kind of get caught in this feedback loop where you can never point to a true error in the theology if you're sucked into it and already a part of it.
Dr. David Jones is our guest. He'll be with us for a few minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about the Prosperity Gospel, live this Wednesday, March the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jones is Associate Professor of Christian Ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, co-author of the new book, Health, Wealth, and Happiness, Has the Prosperity Gospel Overshadowed the Gospel of Christ? Our call-in number, live this Wednesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at issuesetc. More on the Prosperity Gospel after this.
I have a mansion, forget the price. Ain't never been there, they tell me it's nice. I live in hotels, tear out the walls. I have accountants, pay for it.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. The topic? The Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Prosperity Gospel with Dr. David Jones. Dr. Jones, I think you mentioned before the catch-22 of the teachers saying, look, I'm doing it. If you had as much faith as I do, you could be doing it too.
added to that is, especially among, as you say in your book, the soft purveyors of the prosperity gospel, I think they're true believers. I think Joel Osteen really believes what he says. I can't look into his heart, but I think the guy is absolutely sincere. He's convinced this is how all of this has come to him. But in this, and it's found as oddly when he is interviewed by the secular media, he seems to have a very interesting view of the gospel itself. For a guy like Joel Osteen, the other prosperity gospel teachers, why is Jesus hanging dead on a cross?
The distortion of the historic Orthodox biblical gospel is really one of the great tragedies of the whole movement, and that they tend to view Christ's death on the cross not as a substitutionary atonement for the sins of man, but more of Christ dying in order to create prosperity in our lives. And so it's not as much paying for our debt as it is him dying in order to give us wealth. And so you see they've got the emphasis really on the wrong part of the atonement.
So when they talk about faith, the classic reformational view of faith is the empty hand that receives what God freely gives in Jesus Christ. When the prosperity gospel preachers talk about faith, what do they mean?
For them, faith is not so much trusting in God, as faith is a force. Even some of the more egregious purveyors of the prosperity gospel, I'm thinking of some of the classic guys like Oral Roberts or Kenneth Hagin, they talked about it sort of being a spiritual force that we direct at God in order to get things from him. And that's certainly a distortion, a dangerous distortion of what the Bible teaches about faith.
You mentioned early on that for classical Christianity, prayer is seeking things from God in Christ's name. That is, for the sake of Christ's atoning sacrifice. Why God hears, why God answers. What is prayer again for the prosperity gospel?
It goes right along with the idea of faith being a force. Prayer is a force. It's a walkie-talkie that we can use in order to manipulate God, to call him, to get him to do things for us. And you know, certainly we would want to say, as Orthodox believers, we can take our requests to God. And if I'm sick, if my wife is sick, well, certainly it's good to go and bring those things to God. But that's different than thinking prayer is the way that we can direct God to bring prosperity into our lives. And so that you see there the whole dynamics of the prosperity gospel being about an exalted view of man and a diminished view of God. It's about me and my prosperity, not God and his glory.
It seems a very mechanical way of understanding God and how he works with us. Do they have a place in their theology for human suffering?
That's another huge, huge area. Matter of fact, in the book we have a whole chapter on suffering. And it seems like a lot of folks are attracted to the prosperity gospel when they experience suffering. Maybe if you have a child with Down syndrome or some physical ailment comes your way. And it's understandable. I mean, when we suffer, I think the natural reaction of most people is to seek more to be alleviated from the suffering than it is to find the purposes of God in the suffering. And the prosperity gospel says if you're walking with Christ and you're a good believer, well, then you shouldn't suffer. But, of course, we know from experience that's really not true, which is why we have a whole chapter in the book called The Biblical Teaching on Suffering, where we go through and we explain, this is what the Bible really teaches on this topic. And so really, the purposes in the book, the first half of the book, are to expose the errors of prosperity theology. And the second half of the book is to give direction, biblical direction, on the topics that make prosperity theology so attractive to immature believers and to unbelievers. And so we talk about suffering. We talk about a biblical view of poverty and wealth and what the Bible actually teaches about giving. And so the idea is both to critique and to correct.
often those who have followed this teaching find it very difficult to extricate themselves from it. It becomes, because it is a different theology, it becomes not just changing one or two ways of thinking or way of understanding what the Bible teaches. It's a wholesale change that has to take place. What is your best advice when reaching out to someone who has been stuck in the vicious cycle of the prosperity gospel?
I think the best way is simply to point to truth. Of course, exposing error is important, and that's good, but I found ultimately in dealing with people who are attracted or who are in this stripe of quasi-Christianity, the best way to reach them is simply to point to the historic Orthodox gospel in Scripture, and through the light of Christ, I see people themselves come to an understanding of the bankruptcy of the prosperity gospel. And so it's not as much critique as it is to reach out and point to truth, I think is the best way to reach folks.
You teach Christian ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. How would you evaluate the prosperity gospel in light of Christian ethics? About 1 minute.
I would say ultimately it's not ethical. It's a distortion. It tells believers to seek prosperity from God and make things about you, whereas when I read Scripture, I see the teaching of dying to live, of decreasing to increase, of being buried to rise, of being last to be first, of being a servant to a master, of becoming weak to be strong, of being poor to be rich. And so all these things talk about self-diminishment and talk about overcoming ourselves through the cross and making it about Christ. And really the prosperity gospel has that in reverse.
Dr. David Jones is Associate Professor of Christian Ethics at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. He's co-author of the new book, Health, Wealth, and Happiness: Has the Prosperity Gospel Overshadowed the Gospel of Christ? You can purchase Health, Wealth, and Happiness under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jones, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.